last week, we finished up the series on honoring others. And I got to tell you, I've never done a series on that before. I really enjoyed it. And I know God spoke to me through it and to each of us. And I believe our church needs to continue to have that culture of honoring one another. It feels like the right thing to do in God's word. But we're starting a brand new series today. And actually, in one of the services last weekend, I don't remember which one, as I was speaking to you, I felt the Lord saying our next series would be on how do we help people find and follow Jesus. So our vision here for the church is helping people find and follow Jesus, but often we don't know how. And you know, we have this nice vision statement, but maybe we're actually not 100% sure. How do you do that? Sounds great, but how? So this next series is going to be how do we help people find and follow Jesus? And specifically today, we're going to start with the most important thing in bringing others to Christ. The number one foundational thing that must be there or you're wasting your time trying. I'm just seeing if anybody's going to pick up on this before I say what it is. And it is this. We must really love people. Okay? And that's what we're looking at. You cannot reach anybody if you don't really love people. You cannot sincerely talk to someone and say, you know, you need Christ. Come if you don't really love. And if you try to do it without love, you instead have religion. And then you have only a pattern or a system that you follow with no love involved, and it will not produce effects. And we won't mention any other types of places that go around and, you know, do sort of a religious process. But if love is not there, it won't have an effect. So let's get into this today, because I believe that this is a church who already has some love for others. I really do. But we're going to really see what God says about it. And individually, we're going to grow in our love for our community. We're going to grow in our love for people that are unlovely. We're going to grow in our love for our neighbors and even our own family because of what God's word says. All right, Matthew 28, 19 to 20. So Matthew 28, 19 to 20 says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." So you see, Christ has given us a commission as believers to go and make disciples of all nations. That's the helping people find Jesus. But it didn't stop there. Then he also said for us to teach them to observe the things that he commanded. That's the follow. So there's two parts to what we do. The reason our church even is existing is here is to help people find him and follow him. Because you see, it's not enough to just find him and who he is and what he's about. Christ wanted people to follow him fully. Do you understand that? So we're looking at those two things, but the starting point obviously is going to be finding him or us introducing him. But we cannot do it effectively without love. When we use the word love, different things come to different people's minds. The word love is a broad word with many different meanings, especially in our culture today. The word love can mean anything from kids who are holding hands to someone selling themselves on the street. And they'll use the same term. But for us, the word love we're going to use is the love that comes from the Father to his children. The love of God, a love that is so strong, he was willing to give his only son. The love that is willing to deny yourself for somebody else. Okay, so all those other definitions of love you can put aside. And we're going to focus on pure, true love. The purest love there ever was and ever will be. And if you've ever felt it, you know what I'm talking about. If you remember in our last series, our key verse about honor had something also in it about love. So let's just look at it for a minute. Romans 12, 9 and 10. Don't just pretend to love others. That's how it started. Don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. We are called to love with genuine affection. Matthew 22, 36 to 40. Someone is talking to Jesus, asking him a question. He says, "Teacher, what is the great commandment in the law?" In verse 37, and he said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets." In other words, he was saying you will fulfill all the commandments if you do those two. If you love God with everything in you, you're automatically going to do the things that please him. So you fulfill all those other commandments. You would never put up an idol in your house and pray to it because you love him with all your heart. Do you see what he's saying? And then all the commandments that deal with our relationship, our interactions with other people, which is the other commandments, they are fulfilled if you love them the same as you love yourself. You would never hurt yourself, so you're not going to hurt your neighbor. You would never steal from yourself, so you're not going to steal from your neighbor. You would want the best for your neighbor just like you want the best for you. So loving others fulfills the rest of the commandments. And Jesus said it was important. I'm going to give you a few verses here to begin, and then we're going to kind of go off a little bit of a direction here that I'm going to help you understand what love is and how do we actually love others. Romans 13, 8 and 10. It says, "Owe nothing to anyone except for your obligation to love one another. If you love your neighbor, you will fulfill the requirements of God's law. For the commandments say you must not commit adultery, you must not murder, you must not steal, you must not covet. These and other such commandments are summed up in this one commandment, love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to others, so love fulfills the requirements of the law." Okay, that's actually what I was kind of explaining, and here it is right there in that verse. And with that translation, you get a good, clear understanding of what he's saying. Galatians 5, 13 to 14. I'm going to give you a few verses that are so clear, telling you you need to love your neighbor. You need to love your community. You need to love the people around you. Galatians 5, 13 and 14. "For you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters, but don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom," listen to this, "to serve one another in love. For the whole law can be summed up in this one command, love your neighbor as yourself." Did you catch that amazing statement? Use the freedom Christ has given you to do what? Serve others in love. You see, just serving is pointless, but serving someone because you love them is amazing. And that is actually the separation between religion and Christianity, is the fact that there is love involved. Religion you can do just because you've trained yourself and you go through the motions. Christianity you do because you love. All right, I'm going to give you another one. I want you to be thinking here for a minute. 1 Corinthians 13, 1 to 7. Okay, this is the love chapter. And often you'll hear this read at weddings. However, I just want you to know it was not written for only weddings. Okay? It actually was not written at all about a wedding. It was written to Christians and how they related to the people around them. Each other, but also the people around them. Okay? So just remember that as we read it tonight. Now, yes, it applies to couples as well, but it goes much broader than that. Here he goes. Paul speaking. He said, if I could speak all the languages of earth and of angels, but didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy and I understood all of God's secret plans and possessed all knowledge, and if I had such faith that I could move mountains, but didn't love others, I would be nothing. If I gave everything I had to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it, but if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing. Because this is important. Just sacrificing or giving up things but not doing it because you love is pointless. He actually says about the only thing you could do is brag about it. But when there's love involved, it's different. Now here's the verse that you always hear read at weddings. Love is patient. Verse 4. Love is kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable. And it keeps no record of wrongs. He's not talking to a couple at this moment. Yes, couples, you need to do this. Do you understand? He's talking about that kind of love to your neighbor that annoys you. Maybe none of your neighbors annoy you. But I'm just saying, if they did even. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. Three things will last forever, faith, hope, and love, and the greatest of these is love. Love never gives up. Love never quits. Love never fails, it says in another version. Love never ends. He said these three things will last forever, and love is the greatest. When a couple comes and talks for counseling, and if one of them says, yeah, I just don't feel like I love him anymore, or I love her anymore. Really? Because I read that love never fails, love never gives up, love doesn't end. So maybe you're not feeling too happy with each other, but you don't understand what love is if you say, I don't know if I love you anymore. It automatically means you don't know what love is. Because love is not a feeling. Love is a choice. Love is a decision to care about somebody no matter what. Did you hear me? Everything we do as Christians must be done through genuine love. If you can't love somebody, don't fake it. It's always obvious when you're faking your faith. Go to work to somebody and I just want to tell you about Christ, and they know you could care less about them. Don't do it. It's actually a terrible testimony for the gospel. Now, obviously, I said before, our mission is to reach others, to see them come to Christ, and I encourage you, talk to others, reach out to them, but I'm telling you tonight, don't do it until you know you have love for them. Now, maybe you're saying, well, that's great, but what if I don't really feel like I love others? Let's be honest, I'm reading you all those verses about how we should love, and there may have been times where you don't feel any love at all for your neighbor or the community. So the question is, how do we really love others without faking it? Because if you go from here tonight and you just try to fake it, you will fail miserably. You will. But how do we really love? So let me give you a couple points, and you got to get these. These are important. How do I really love my community? How do I really love the people I work with? How do I really love my neighbor? How? Okay, get this. For us to really love others, we must first be filled with love. Okay? You're like, well, that was pretty simple. It is. You must be filled with love to give love out. And I got good news. I'm going to tell you how. 1 John 4, verse 8 says this in the New Living Translation. But anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. Okay, this is going to get easy as we go. Anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. So you want to get filled with love? First of all, you got to know what pure, true love is. It's God. His very presence is love. And you can get to know him and get more of his love by spending some time in his word, in prayer, and in worship. Listen, those three things are simple for us to do. If you ever come to a point where you feel like, I don't feel like I love anybody, I can guarantee you, you've not been spending time in this, you've not been spending time in prayer, and you've not been spending time in worship. Your love level or your love tank can decrease to a point where you don't feel like you have any love for anybody. There's a way to fill it up. This is the Holy Ghost gas station right here. The love gas station. It's prayer. Did you know every Saturday at 6 o'clock they have a prayer time in one of the back rooms now? We've changed it so the prayer can happen before service is ever start. You know what's happening when they're praying? They're praying for others. They're showing love for others, and God begins to fill them. In worship, we can be filled with love by worship. When you come to worship, and I know I say it all the time, don't just watch them on the platform. Don't just critique how well they're doing. Let it disappear all your thoughts and ideas and just worship along with them the best you can. You see, because when you experience the presence of God, you are experiencing true, perfect love. It's interesting if you say to yourself, while I was in a service and I just felt the presence of God so strong, what did you feel? You felt pure love. You know, people will try to describe it, well, like it was goosebumps, or I felt this warm feeling, or you felt the presence of true love. And it's why it blows people away. It's why it changes their day and their week when they feel his presence, because it's pure love. 1 John 4:16 to 17. It says, we know how much God loves us, and we've put our trust in his love. God is love, and all who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. Okay, you're starting to get this now. You want to be filled with more love? You need to be filled with more of him. So we will not be afraid on the day of judgment. Oh, sorry, start at verse 17. And as we live in God, our love grows more perfect. So we will not be afraid on the day of judgment, but we can face him with confidence because we live like Jesus here in this world. How did Jesus live here in this world? He went about, it said, everywhere doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. He went about loving people. When they brought to him the woman caught in adultery, and they wanted him to say, stone her, give her what she deserves according to the law. What did he do? He loved her. And he said, hey, yeah, all of you guys who have never, ever once in your life sinned, you go ahead and throw the first stone. And of course, nobody could throw a stone. Then he looked at her and said, I don't condemn you, but get up from here, repent, go sin no more. That's what it meant when he said, go and sin no more. Don't do that anymore. He was saying, I'm forgiving you, just repent. Turn from what you're doing, do it different. He loved people. We're called to do the same thing. Did you know that? As a pastor, my role, I want to see people live the way it pleases God, and I want to see them go forward, but I can't condemn them. I can't tell them, well, that's your last chance this time. God's never done with you. He wants to transform you. 1 John 4:11 to 13. Dear friends, since God has loved us that much, we surely ought to love each other. No one has ever seen God, but if we love each other, God lives in us, and his love is brought to full expression in us. God has given us his Spirit as proof that we live in him and he in us. Okay, and I want to give you this clear point because I believe this is going to give you something amazing. And it says, I said this in my next point, being filled with the Holy Spirit means we are filled with love. And you're saying, are you sure about that? Let's look at when they were filled with the Holy Spirit in God's Word. Now, first of all, we know that the fruit of the Spirit, things that come from being filled with the Spirit, that's the fruit, what grows from it. The first one that's mentioned is love. So you better enjoy this one. Galatians 5, 22 to 23 says, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. All right, Luke 24, 47 to 49. Luke 24, 47. It was also written that this message would be proclaimed in the authority of his name to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. There is forgiveness of sin for all who repent. You are witnesses of all these things. Now, listen to verse 49. And now I will send the Holy Spirit just as my Father promised. But stay here in the city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with power from heaven. This is Jesus talking to his followers. He's been crucified. He's risen from the grave. And he has come in the midst of where they are. And he's giving them their last orders before he goes and sits at the right hand of God. Giving them their last orders. And he's telling them, you're going to go through all the world's preaching the good news, bringing people to me. You know, he said in the one gospel that we read earlier, go make disciples of all nations. He's given him their orders. And then he stops and says, but don't do anything until you are first filled with the Holy Spirit and his power. Don't even try it, is almost the feeling you're hearing from him. Until you're filled with the Holy Spirit and power. And we know that the Holy Spirit is what? The very Spirit of God, the very presence of God. Did you know that when you get filled with the Holy Spirit, you are getting filled with his love? This is key. This is so important. You can't be like, I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. I just feel goosebumps, so that's why I know. But boy, I sure hate those people. You are not filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. I've had 3 people healed, but boy, I hate those. You are not filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, I prayed in tongues, and I prayed in tongues, and then I prayed that God would kill all those people. You are not filled with the Holy Spirit. How do I know? Because His Spirit is His presence. And you would be filled with love. Let me say it another way that might help you. God wants you to be filled with His Holy Spirit. He wants you to be filled with His love that works miracles. He wants you to be filled to overflowing with His love that transforms lives. His love that forgives sins. His love that restores relationships and families. His love that has no beginning and no end. His love that heals the sick. His love that sets captives free. His love that was powerfully shown at Calvary. His love for you and me and every other person we see. Do you understand that? You want to see miracles? Then get filled with His love. You read Scripture, it said Jesus had compassion on the people and He went and He healed. You want to be used of God to see mighty miracles and deliverance? You'll need to be filled with love. Because that's what drives it. That's what brings it. And the Holy Spirit is an unbelievable love of God flowing through us. And yes, the sign of that filling and outpouring was speaking in tongues, a heavenly language, another language. And I'm going to look at that verse in just a minute here. But I want to say it again. Do not try and do God's work without being filled with His Spirit, with His love. The disciples were told, don't go anywhere. So they waited in Jerusalem. They prayed in the upper room. And as they were praying in Acts chapter 2, verse 11, we read this. Well, right before this, let me give you the background. I want to read this verse in a minute. But in the beginning of Acts chapter 2, we read about where they were filled with the Holy Spirit. It said there was a mighty rushing wind. And then it said that the place, there came tongues of fire on their head. And they were filled with the Spirit and they spoke in other languages, in tongues. And then as they were speaking, it was loud. It said it was noised abroad. People began to hear about it. And people from all areas of Jerusalem came to see what is going on. There was this visible fire. There was noise, and they were speaking in other languages. And verse 11, here's what they said when they came and heard them. They said, both Jews converted to Jews, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans, Arabs, and they said, we all hear these people speaking in our own language about the wonderful things God has done. You see, this is key about the tongues that they were filled with. They were overflowed with the very love of God, and it came out in a language of people that knew nothing about their God, and it was telling them about the wonderful works of Him. That's the presence of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit so wanted to bring the message of hope, deliverance, and salvation to the lost, that He spoke to people that didn't even know the language. I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit is the presence of love. And He yearns to see those with no hope have hope. He longs to see those that are struggling, those that don't know Him, come to know Him. Because He is love. To effectively help others find and follow Jesus, we need to really love them first. And you know, if you have not been filled with this Holy Spirit, you need to get filled with this Holy Spirit. And being filled with this Holy Spirit is not a one-time event, by the way, either. We read in Scripture where they were filled and they were filled again. Being filled with the Holy Spirit is something that happens as we go and we pray and we ask Him. And I've seen over the years that someone can be mightily filled with the Holy Spirit and they can stray from His presence and His Word, and suddenly their tank is empty. I remember a story, and I'm getting ready to close actually already, but I remember a story years ago. Actually, Beatrice's dad, I'd heard him tell this story. And he was doing meetings all over. He would see people filled with the Holy Spirit often. And one time he had a lady call him, and they were talking on the phone. She was from in the north. And she told him, she said, "You know, I got filled with the Holy Spirit many years ago, but it's like I never feel it now." And as she was talking, he said he saw a cup of water. And the cup of water, there was only a little bit in the bottom. And he said, "God wants to fill your cup full again. If you ask Him, if you want it, He'll fill you again." And so he prayed for her over the phone. And he said, all of a sudden, he just heard, "Woo!" And the phone went thunk. That was back in the day where they had cords. And he said from there, he could just hear this lady kind of running around in her kitchen praying in tongues. And he hung up because his job was done. Listen, God wants us to reach others, but we need to be full. We can't reach them if we're empty of love. We can't reach them if our Holy Spirit level is right at the bottom. If we're just getting by on drips ourselves, how can we give to anybody else? And I want to encourage you, allow Him to fill you fresh. If you've never asked Him to fill you with the Holy Spirit, ask Him. I have people tell me, "But what if I don't pray in tongues right away?" Hey, His love wants to come out of you. It'll come out of you in tongues somewhere. If it's not here tonight, it'll come somewhere. That love needs to come out. It needs to express itself. And that's what tongues is. So tonight, first I need to ask this. If there's anybody in the building who has never accepted Christ, and I know most of you, but is there anybody here you've never accepted Christ? Because I want to check that first. Okay, I think I do know that you all have. So the second thing that we're going to do tonight, we're going to ask the Holy Spirit to fill us fresh. Okay? If you've never asked Him, well, you're asking Him for the first time brand new. But you can ask Him to fill you fresh. You see, these disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit here in Acts chapter 2, mightily, powerfully. Did you know that by Acts chapter 4, I believe it is, there's another occurrence. They go to God again, and they say, "God, you got to help us." And it was because a couple of them had been put in prison. And now they were a little bit scared. They said, "God, you're going to have to help us. Give us boldness that we can go and do." And they said, "Let signs and wonders be done in the name of Jesus through us." They were praying this. You know what His answer was? He filled them again, fresh, with the Holy Spirit. Again, the same group. He filled them fresh again. And they went out, filled again with the burning passion of love for the lost, that they could have cared less if they went to prison. They could have cared less if everything they owned was destroyed. They didn't care anymore. Why? Because they were so filled with a burning love for those that don't know Christ yet. When that's in you, you don't have to try to bring others to Christ. You don't have to work hard. It flows out of you. So we're going to pray tonight to be filled fresh with His Holy Spirit. So, right where you are, if you are wanting to be filled with this Holy Spirit first time or filled fresh, I want you to stand right where you are. So everybody wants that, stand with me. And we're going to pray and believe for God to fill us fresh, to fill us new like never before with His Holy Spirit. And God said, if you ask anything in My name and you believe it, what happens? It's done. Okay, so this is not going to be where I don't need the band to get you whipped up. We don't have to run around seven times until we're ready to fall over or anything like that. This is just us asking Him something He said we could ask Him. You got that? So here's what we're going to do. I'm actually going to say a prayer and ask you to repeat it. And then when we are done the prayer, I am going to ask you to just shout thank you, Jesus, or praise you, and, you know, maybe do some clap. So we're going to praise him as soon as we're done. Okay, some of you may speak in tongues. Others, you're just going to feel that love flow over you. Okay, we're actually going to do that tonight without any music. I love music. Music can help you get in his presence. But tonight, I didn't ask them to do anything with music, so we're going to do this. Are you ready? So repeat this after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I ask you now to fill me with your Holy Spirit. Give me boldness. Overflow me with love, with passion, with power. I thank you, Jesus. We've asked and we receive. We receive. Amen.